attendance down and dissension in the ranks at Oshkosh. American Eagle flight attendants reach a tentative agreement, and the FAA releases its through-the-fence proposals for general aviation airports. This is Aero News for Tuesday, July 31st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The final figures are not in just yet, but EAA President and CEO Rod Hightower says he expects attendance for the 2012 Air Venture to be above 500,000, yet short of the 541,000 mark set last year. In his week-ending final news conference, Hightower called the week, quote, outstanding, end quote, but it seems not everyone would agree. The Oshkosh newspaper Northwestern reports that about 150 attended the EAA's annual meeting. That's three times the usual amount. One member commented that he is concerned that there will be a loss of the culture of experimental and home-built airplanes that were the seed from which Oshkosh grew. Others, writing on a Facebook page titled, quote, Members for Members, end quote, are also concerned that the EAA is losing its focus. The page was established by a group of EAA members seeking direct election to the organization's board of directors. At least one posted a comment saying there should be a change of leadership at the top of the organization. Hightower also said that he understands that the membership expects transparency from the board and management and promised to, quote, share information more visibly and vocally, end quote, according to the Northwestern. American Eagle flight attendants, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, announced a tentative agreement last week after months of negotiations between AFA and American Eagle management. Once approved by union leadership, the agreement will provide flight attendants with the opportunity to vote on whether to ratify the agreement instead of being subject to the bankruptcy court's imposition of terms dictated by management. Rod Barrow, the AFA American Eagle president, said, quote, This is certainly not the agreement we were negotiating prior to the bankruptcy, nor does it accurately reflect the vast contributions American Eagle flight attendants make to our carrier each day. However, the agreement blunts management's most onerous demands and gives us the opportunity to decide for ourselves how to move forward, end quote. The AMR Corporation, parent company of American Eagle and American Airlines, filed for bankruptcy protection in November 2011. Meanwhile, Reuters reports that AMR has sent a confidentiality or non-disclosure agreement to U.S. Airways for their review of a possible merger with American. The agreement was reportedly developed in consultation with AMR's creditors committee and is being sent to other potential merger partners as well. The FAA yesterday unveiled its proposed policy on residential through-the-fence agreements at general aviation airports in order to comply with the FAA reauthorization bill, reports Aviation News. The full proposal was published in Monday's Federal Register. The FAA's long-standing policy had been to discourage residential through-the-fence agreements at general aviation airports. In March 2011, the agency adopted an interim policy that allowed existing through-the-fence agreements to continue on the condition that airports develop access plans. The interim rule also shut the door on new residential through-the-fence agreements. However, general aviation advocates added language to the recently passed FAA reauthorization bill to permit new through-the-fence agreements. A through-the-fence agreement simply allows a person who owns residential property adjacent to an airport to have access to the airfield. The bill prohibits any aircraft refueling from occurring on residential property and includes other terms and conditions on property owners. The FAA is seeking public comment on its interpretation of the bill, and comments on the proposal are due on or before August 29th of 2012. NASA is preparing to land its 2,000-pound car-sized rover Curiosity on the Red Planet this coming weekend, and you're invited to tune in to a number of live news conferences and updates. The landing is expected at 10:31 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on August the 5th, that's Sunday night, or 1:31 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time Monday morning, that's August the 6th. Curiosity's landing will mark the start of a two-year prime mission to investigate whether one of the most intriguing places on Mars has ever offered an environment favorable to microbial life. News briefings will be held at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory beginning Thursday, August 2nd, and carried live on NASA television. Landing commentary, August the 5th, will be televised as well. A full schedule of the live news briefings is available at www.nasa.gov slash NTV News. You can also follow the mission on Facebook or Twitter at www.facebook.com/Mars Curiosity and www.twitter.com/Mars Curiosity. The European Aviation Safety Agency has published its annual safety review for 2011. In Europe, there was a single fatal accident in scheduled operations during the year. For the decade 2002 through 2011, the rate of accidents in scheduled operations in EASA member states was one of the lowest in the world, with 1.6 fatal accidents per 10 million flights. On a global level, accidents of the year 2011 send a contradictory signal. On the one hand, the number of accidents involving passenger fatalities in scheduled operations remained high at 16, but the related number of fatalities to passengers dropped from 658 in 2010 to 330. This drop can be mainly attributed to the smaller aircraft involved, as well as to the lower proportion of fatalities. Commenting on the release of the review, EASA's executive director, Patrick Goudeau, said, quote, "This mixed picture does not give us any room for complacency. Efforts must continue from both regulators and the industry to work toward a continuous improvement in global aviation safety levels," end quote. When Aero News continues, Pipistrel receives two prestigious awards as AirVenture wraps up. Cessna moves the Skycatcher from LSA to a primary category for European sales. And new TV ads tout Team USA, USA, USA.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Tuesday, July 31st. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Pipistrel aircraft team received two prestigious awards at AirVenture, which wrapped up on Sunday. The company was the recipient of the Dr. August Raspett Memorial Award, which has been presented annually by the EAA since 1960, to a person who has made outstanding advancements in the field of light aircraft design. Previous recipients include Curtis Pitts, Bert Rutan, Allen and Dale Clapmeyer, and Gordon Pratt. On behalf of the Pipistrel team, the award was received by Mr. Michael Coates, who is Pipistrel's USA distributor. Pipistrel's R&D engineer, Tyne Tomaszek, received a prestigious Personal Aircraft Design Academy, or PADA, trophy. This year's trophy was awarded to Tomaszek, who is Pipistrel's development engineer and the leader of the Taurus G4 development team. That aircraft won the 2011 NASA Green Flight Challenge as the world's first electric four-seat aircraft. Cessna will be moving the 162 Skycatcher into a primary aircraft category and out of the light sport aircraft category. This move will aid in the certification process with countries worldwide. Tracy Leopold, the business leader for Cessna's 162, says, quote, "The 162 will continue to meet the definition of a LSA, and the owner-operator can continue to operate the aircraft with a sport pilot license. This makes the Skycatcher a more innovative aircraft for our customers," end quote. Cessna is working with the FAA on a Skycatcher primary category designation, which includes type certificate and production certificate. The joint Cessna-FAA team included requirements from EASA-CSLSA into the program, which will allow the Skycatcher to be accepted into Europe through a simpler validation effort following FAA approval. Cessna had refunded deposits on the Skycatcher to their European customers earlier this year in order to focus on finding a solution for the certification issue. So you've hunkered down to watch a couple of weeks of Summer Olympics on TV, have you? Well, between the swimming, bicycling, gymnastics, and more, keep your eyes peeled for the new advertising commercials for United Airlines. Travel Pulse reports the airline has debuted a new series of TV spots that touts their role in supporting Team USA by flying them to London for the games. The spots are part of the airline's, quote, "Before they move us, we move them," end quote, campaign that highlights the airline's history in flying Team USA Olympic and Paralympic athletes to training events, competitions, Olympic trials, and Olympic Games for 32 years. Tunnel is a 60-second commercial highlighting United's role in flying Team USA to the London 2012 Olympic Games. The spot was launched on July 27th during NBC's broadcast of the opening ceremony and will run, along with a 30-second version, throughout the network's 17-day coverage of the Games. Getting Ready is an additional 30-second commercial highlighting United employees' pride and coordination in flying Team USA. The commercials are narrated by Academy Award-winning screenwriter and actor Matt Damon and feature a new arrangement of United's signature theme, Rhapsody in Blue, by who else? The London Symphony Orchestra. It would appear that United is hoping the friendly skies will, at least for the next 2 weeks, be tinged with gold, silver, and bronze. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.